good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM, Chilliquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is fromthetrenchesworldreport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It's Muck and Fun Day. It's the 7th day. We're a week into December already, guys. 7th of December, 2020. It's 12:04 Pacific time. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by myself, Henry Shively, and by my brother, John D., United States Marine fighting tyranny. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 712-770-5597. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 712-770-5597. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you're going to have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with JD and myself today. Well, it is currently 37 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson. We're looking for a high of 43 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And then it's working its way to winter, getting cold. But dry people. I guess there's a little snow in the mountains. What I was talking to my nephew yesterday, in the low mountains. But I mean, shit, man, there's better be some water here. I mean, we're going to drought at the end of May. Oh man. Good afternoon, John. How are things today out there, Nazi Joyzy, brother?
Well, good afternoon, Henry. And I hope you had a decent weekend, maybe a little bit of relaxing. I know we can't do too much, can't let our guard down. But right now, over here in the northeastern seaboard state of Nazi Jersey, at about 95 feet above sea level mean, we currently have 42 degrees. Oh, is it 42? Yeah, 42 degrees, 48% humidity. But I tell you what, I must be getting real sensitive to cold now that I'm getting older, because, man, it feels like it's below freezing out there to me. But my thermometer says 42 degrees.
Yeah, well, that's how in the hell the old folks tell when it ain't going to rain no more. It gets colder. I mean, I used to, winter used to didn't bother me at all. You know, I had good gear, and I love to be out in it, see different things, what might have you, but anymore. Anyway.
Well, you know, when I was younger, I was a framer, man. We worked outdoors year-round, and there were times we were out there framing, and the snowstorm would start raging, and finally we'd say, you know, I think it's time to call it quits.
That's when you were young and full of beans, though, I mean.
Oh, hell yeah. Young, dumb, and full of cum, as the old movie would say.
Yep. Anyway.
So what do you got on the plate for today, Henry? Because, man, it just ain't going to stop. I saw one, I forget what court it was, turned down reviewing the Trump's evidence. You know, this is the whole point of these admiralty courts. They're going to decide what they want to rule over. And, you know, in a common law court, they couldn't do that. And besides that, it's December 7th, so don't forget about December 7th, 1941. That was the day this country was officially handed over to the international communists when they were allowed to attack Pearl Harbor with the help of FDR, Harry Hopkins, and Harry Dexter White, and all them fucking scumbags that people would thought were here protecting this country.
That was the date that the American National stood up and defended international communism to keep it from being destroyed.
Oh, hell yeah, we did, to the tune of, a few hundred thousand soldiers getting sent overseas. What was the total? Something like 700,000 soldiers got sent overseas, and that was just to the European theater. I don't even know what it was in total.
I think we lost 250,000 out of however many. 700 sounds about right. I'm not positive on the numbers. But,
yeah, and I do remember, and if I remember it, I've heard comments saying that the Civil War, we lost more people here during the Civil War, which was controlled by the Rothschilds. That was a Rothschilds manipulated event also. But we lost more men here during the Civil War than we did in World War II.
Killing each other, man. The Jews must have, they must have had a real fun time through that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I bring this up, Henry, because during the tactical report, I got a special report today, because we're going to take a trip in the time machine. You know, not the kind like H.G. Wells talks about, where you actually go in the future or go in the past. No. This is a time machine about what happened decades and decades ago, and people warned us this was what was coming.
Oh, yeah. It's not like we haven't been warned, and it isn't like there haven't been voices in the past, you know, to tell it. Well, like Major Jordan, of course, and
Smedley Butler in the early 30s, yep. who went out and publicly disclosed that they tried to perform a military coup d'etat in this country with the help of J.P. Morgan leading the charge.
Well, you had John F. Kennedy stand up, the president of the fucking United States. He wasn't really the president, but I mean, stand up and tell you know, the secret societies and, you know, he signed the executive order to end the CIA, the FBI, the Federal Reserve, and even printed up about $40 billion worth of Yankee greenbacks before they blowed his head off and let him know that who really runs this fucking country.
Oh, yeah, they made a public display of turning his brains into meat confetti so that any other would-be, tin pot dictators that get put in a position of power don't start thinking on their own.
Yeah, that's dangerous. And his brother, being attorney general, was going to find out who killed him, and he found out the hard way.
Yeah, his son? Who was it? Which Kennedy died in the plane crash about 20 years ago?
That was JFK Jr. He was running
JFK
against
Jr., and that's because he was going to unseat Hillary Clinton, yep, from her New York position, and they couldn't have that.
Nope. You're exactly right, man. But, I mean, the whole thing has come together to the point of I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't know exactly what the fuck is going on, and they're just scared, confused, and of course you have the hardcore fucking Marxists that have been brought into this country, the agitators who are going to go along with it. And we, you know, I've talked before about, you know, the fact that the people would just be fisting it out on the fucking streets and shit. But when this started getting close, you know, years ago we talked about it. And it ain't close yet. You don't see people punching it out on the fucking streets, but you're starting to see it. And they've got their two sides really fucking worked out well as far as Guy Carr's contention that they will put you in two camps and have you kill each other. Got the shots fired during pro-Trump versus anti-Antifa rally in Olympia, results in gunfire. And I don't know if you watched the little clip. It's not very long, but it was fighting in the streets. I mean, I didn't see no cops around, and they may have come later after the gunshots and what might have you. But this is going to go south, man. I mean, they're going to get the people. The way this whole thing is working out with this vote count thing, I have one article here, John. Oh man, let me.
Hey, Henry.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what Hillary said. Put the people into a blue cabin and red cabin.
Well, yeah, red and the blue, man. That's, I mean, you got to have that right, you know, the X on your chest so you can be shot real easy. Let me see what the hell.
You know, Henry, I'm looking at a site real quick, and I see you got an article up there by Galen. And I'm only mentioning it because I'm going to cover it in the tactical report. It says, do not be alarmed. And it talks about how she's got a picture of an old person laying in bed, and there's a little caption above it saying, you know, don't be surprised when you start hearing about people dying within a day or two of getting their vaccinations. Uh-huh. And this is going to lead right into the stuff I'm going to be covering in the tactical report. So just fortuitous timing there, Galen.
It sounds like a good article to me. But, you know, we talked about your friend Glenn and the fire and looking right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And just so people understand, Glenn Fitello, that was his name. He's actually dead now. They found him dead in his car, and I think it was a cocaine overdose, but I'm not sure. He OD'd on something.
Oh, that's too bad. There's people, you know, he probably didn't have the right upbringings, all I can figure.
Well, he was going around, from what I understand, because we were never great friends or anything, but from what I understand, he went around and spent the better part of his life just fucking people every which way he could.
Yep. You know, somebody sent him down that path, man. I mean, I don't think people are born bad. I think, you know, they just piss poor parenting and fucking just no parenting at all, letting the fucking state raise your kids, you know. During the 70s, all the moms went to work and handed their kids over to the fucking state for their communist indoctrination. So,
you know, Henry, them schools, that public school system, they'll take good care of your kids. Don't worry.
Of course they will. They'll teach them how to tell lies like this. I mean, now here, I'm going to do it. This is for you, Glenn. No mystery ballots hidden under table in Fulton County. Georgia investigator swears in affidavit.
That was like when William Barr got up there and you know, with complete sincerity. There's no evidence of voter fraud.
Well, it's just like, you know, watching Kelly Thomas get beaten to death. I mean, that cold-blooded murder and then, all you know, acquitted. No, he wasn't murdered. Yes, he fucking was. And yet, I know what I seen on that television screen. I mean, goddamn, there were four angles of it. They were pulling ballots out and they were fucking counting them. They had everybody leave. I mean, but just listen to this bullshit. Anyway, this is from Fox News. The chief investigator from Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger's office filed a sworn statement in federal court claiming that video presented last week at a state Senate meeting does not show voter fraud, as was alleged by President Trump's attorney Rudy Giuliani. The video contains footage from the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, where votes were counted on election night. According to Giuliani, it showed workers counting ballots that had been brought in and hidden under a table until after poll watchers had left. Chief Investigator Francis Watson disputed this claiming that, according to his findings, this did not take place, John. We didn't see that. That fire ain't burning. Our investigation and review of the entire security footage revealed that there were no mystery ballots that were brought in from an unknown location and hidden under tables, as has been reported by some. Watson said in an affidavit. Watson said his probe began after people complained on election day that Fulton County staff told clerks, media, and public observers to leave the area due to a water leak while vote counters kept tallying ballots. And I remember it did happen. And they're not saying it didn't happen, but it didn't happen the way we thought it did, guys. Our eyes deceive us. The leak turned out to be a urinal that overflowed earlier that day. What's next? Watson said he claimed that according to the investigation, which included viewing footage and interviewing witnesses, no one asked media or observers to leave. They fucking ordered them to leave and boarded up the goddamn windows. They were announcing it as it was happening. I didn't watch that. I must have fell asleep and been dreaming all that.
Now, Henry, there was video of them boarding up the windows, yep. But, you know, that's not what they were actually doing.
They weren't.
So those weren't boards they were putting up.
Well, that's so that water from that urinal didn't get out.
Well, yeah, you have to keep it contained. I'm surprised they didn't bring the hazmat team in.
Exactly, man. They simply left on their own when they saw one group of workers whose job it was to open envelopes and who had completed that task also leave, Watson said. Watson also stated that the table under which ballots had allegedly been hidden did not have anything underneath it when it was set up the morning of November 3rd. He said that at approximately 10 p.m. that night, ballots that had been opened but not counted were sealed in boxes that were placed under the tables while observers and media were present. This was done because employees thought that they were done for the night and were closing up and ready to leave, Watson said, adding the counting continued into later in the night, and that the boxes were then opened so those ballots could be counted. Watson's affidavit does not address why workers thought the counting was done or why it later continued. It also does not dispute the allegation that counting took place after observers and media left. He does note that the investigation remains open and that the investigators are continuing to look into the incident as the time ticks by.
Now, Henry, would that be like the investigators who are still looking into why those buildings collapsed on 9/11?
Well, yeah. Well, there's still, you know, you go back far enough, there's people investigating, looking, seeing who shot Kennedy.
Now, wait, I do remember, and this did happen, and this is going to be, oh, God, it's got to be about 8 years ago now. They were supposed to release all of the documents because it had passed the 50-year threshold, whatever it was. I forget what they call that. So they wanted to get, under the Freedom of Information Act, all of the information related to it. And the CIA stepped in and said, no, we can't give out all of those documents, especially the very sensitive ones, because, and here was their reasoning, Henry, it would confuse the public.
I know. They you know, they claimed that as long as there were people alive that were a part of it, that they... you know, that they would not release it, but then they were supposed, like you said, I mean, Trump came on there, we're going to release every single document. Every single document is going to be released, and you know what? It wasn't.
And because I seem to remember him saying that every one of these foreign invaders was going to be kicked out of this country within an hour of him being in office.
He did say that.
Henry, John.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, you guys ever shoot DXLAN on the CB radio?
I don't understand what you're asking me.
Like, it's Skip. It's called Skip.
Oh, yeah.
It's called the DXLAN on the CB radio. Well, I was out there around Thanksgiving, and there was people out there. We were shooting Skip, and they said about this voting fraud has been, this is nothing new to the average person in the world.
Oh, huh.
And they were talking about this, the vaccines and all this stuff going on, and they said that, because I told them I'm in Pennsylvania, I'm in Northeast Pennsylvania, actually. And I said, but up here, they're trying to do the same thing with California out here. And it's not working. It's backfired them out here. And then California's already locked down up there. But out here, it's backfiring because the people are like, fuck you. We're not going to follow this this agenda that you have for the people. Where I'm at now, I don't know about all of Pennsylvania.
Well, see what you got to... What you got going on now, dude, is, you know, they're trying to institutionalize this fucking fraudulent fucking idea that these pricks can tell us anything. What they are doing in each and every instance is violating the fucking Bill of Rights, the procedural due process fucking clauses therein. They every time that somebody, you know, that they put out one of these fucking orders, they are violating every fucking body, just like in California. When they locked down all of California, they violated each and every individual's right to due process of the fucking law. That Bill of Rights has to go. They cannot have a one world order with the fucking Bill of Rights in place. It does not allow for a dictatorship. It doesn't allow for an international dictatorship. And I'm not a one world citizen. I'm an American national. And my goddamn rights are fucking spelled out as clearly as they can be in total fact. And they have been ratified. They were ratified December 15, 1791. And that is, when you read that, you're reading written fucking law, the highest law in this land. And they're just pissing all over it. And see what they're going to argue about, what they're going to argue about, they keep showing that, you know, like this one woman, she's pissed off, she's got, goes on, see my little veranda here I have outside, you know, and I can't serve no food, but over here they're making a motion picture and they got this great big huge same thing as she's got set up and they can do it. Well, fucking course. It's going to be fucking arbitrary and capricious because it is unlawful.
Someone said that we have the common law courts. They're just empty. No one's running them.
Yeah, the seats are there. They're just empty.
Yeah, the seats are there. There's just no one running them. That's what they told me. And I said, because this guy was in Vietnam War, and he said that this is nothing new to the average person that knows this stuff. But he said they're passivated to these policies, like you said.
Uh-huh. And you can
you said about the Vietnam people out there, and he said that people out there, they do support the Bill of Rights and the highest law of the land and the Republic. But they said that all this stuff has been going on for so many years that the people just, it came to a new normal.
Yeah, the people, no, they're not, because it's been in flux the whole time. It's like sticking a knife in and sticking it in a little more and sticking it. They didn't just fucking stab us one day. It was the thin edge of a thick wedge, and it's worked its way to the thick edge of the thick wedge. And what it comes down to is when you go to examine the Bill of Rights, it's an absolute document. It has to be absolute. There can be no fucking exceptions to it. And what they're doing right now is they're continuing to fucking break the fucking law blatantly in our faces, in particular Article 9, pretending that they have some kind of authority that doesn't involve us having our fucking due process of the law before they can fucking inflict an authority upon us. It's like the guy at the goddamn that was, you know, holding up the, or opened up his fucking bar and his burger place there. You know, he said, I want a warrant. And they didn't have to give, they didn't give him no warrant, guys. They hauled his ass to jail and then later on charged him with fucking, disturbing the peace. Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, if when it comes to you cannot challenge authority, you've lost your fucking authority. And what they're doing here is they're trying to get you to talk about, you know, well, look at the hypocrisy. That's what, that word they're trying to burn a hole in. You know, here's Governor Newsom at the $300 a meal thing, kicking back with his buddies, the doctor guys who are fucking with the rest of us. They're all sitting there, no mask, laughing, drinking, eating, having a good fucking hypocrisy. Well, this is supposed to be our anger. No, that ain't our anger. Our anger is you fucking thinking that you can give any kind of goddamn order. It's unlawful, and you know it's unlawful. You've been told it's fucking unlawful. And they're giving the orders, and they're calling the fucking corporate enforcers to enforce unlawful orders. Orders that are fucking criminal. It's criminal for them to say it. But that's what they're trying to make. It's just like with the guns, when they try to make the argument, anything but that fucking First Amendment, which says, shall not be infringed, period. And that's where it fucking ends. It can't go on no further. Because of the way that ratified statement is written. But they've, here we have a 1930s Gun Control Act. See, these are fucking all acts of fucking treason. Because they have no authority. They cannot have any authority according to the fucking ninth article. No authority can exist. They can say we did it through contract. Your contracts are no good. They have no authority. The highest authority in this land is supposed to be that Constitution as far as doing business with one another. And as far as treaties and as far as contracts are concerned, but there is a higher document. There is a document that canceled out a lot of that fucking original fucking Constitution in 1791. Like their capture of the fucking judicial. When they fucking put that Supreme Court in fucking place and that fucking Attorney General said, these are the only people that can prosecute. Horse shit! The common law was put in the fucking Bill of Rights. That's why those procedures were outlined in the Bill of Rights. So you cannot be a privateer of a private law, which is what this is. I mean, that's what the Bar Association's about. It's a private goddamn, trade union. It's private law. It's fucking merchant fucking law. It has no jurisdiction in this goddamn country. And it was one of the things that the founders of this country, the true founders, fought to destroy and make sure would never be here. The dreaded, admiralty courts. And the whole goddamn place they've got running, they've took our fucking, our counties, our fucking states, everything away from it, and districted it. They did that in 1984. But they already committed. When they committed that treason back in 1871, when they created that fucking, that goddamn corporation and replaced the fucking Constitution with the fucking corporation, everything after that is null and void because it's all fraud. There's no way the ninth article can exist and they could do it. Read the son of a bitch. It's very clear. No, you cannot create any kind of authority that denies or disparages these rights that belong to the people. And the people are the fucking jurisdictional authority in this country. And it wasn't that many years ago that it was plain to everyone that you couldn't, the state couldn't file fucking charges against you. I mean, goddamn, we're only talking, the 70s, 80s, 90s, 1000? I mean, it's been 30 years, but Jesus Christ Almighty, people have become that stupid that quick that they don't realize that somebody has to sign a complaint against me. I have to have done something to somebody. I can't just, these arbitrary fucking policies that are dictates under the 14th Amendment that says I'm a subject, which I cannot be. Because the ninth article will not allow that. So that 14th Amendment is not law. It cannot be. Because we are fucking individual, free, sovereign nationals. as declared by our Bill of Rights in our law, ratified by us as the authority in this country. These cocksuckers pretending to be a fucking government, this corporation, this goddamn United States corporation is a fucking fraud without fucking authority, with gangsters running it and gangsters backing it up. Paid fucking mercenaries, paid for with our fucking wealth to try to subjugate us. And they're not going to stop. And like I said, now, you know, like I'm reading this article here, multiple fights broke out at the Washington State Capitol in Olympia on Saturday between patriots and black clad members of Antifa, and the tense dueling protests accumulated into gunfire. At the Gateway Pundit previously reported, supporters of President Donald Trump were at the Capitol holding a pro-Trump and Onto lockdown rally, whatever in the hell that is, while Antifa were holding an event titled Squash Fascists. Videographer Andrew Duncum, known online as Black Rebel, filmed the incident. The Patriots are tired of being attacked by Antifa, and they did. They beat them fuckers down the street, that Antifa. But I'm not going to go join with you. Sorry, Patriots. You're not fucking Patriots. You're fighting so that a different faction of the communists can be my fucking, can own me, can own you.
Hey,
unless you're fighting to get rid of that goddamn corporation and that fucking 14th Amendment and get back to fucking the fucking law of this land, you're fighting for the enemy. You're fighting to be a communist. You just want to be a different kind of communist. Go ahead.
It's not stupidity or ignorance no more. It's cowardice.
Man, there's a lot of interest in there that you don't see because of industry. This has been, I mean, goddamn, I've thought about the welfare state, you know, everybody's talked about it, food stamps, and that's what you think, food stamps and housing and stuff like that. The fucking goddamn, welfare recipients in this country are fucking billionaires. They always have been. This is corporate fucking welfare. It's socialism. I mean, they're talking about, you know, Trump's up there. We must stop the socialism in the country. This is fucking socialism. Look up the fucking definition. You fucking farmers are having a bad year. You sent them 28 grand of the, you took money from working people who were working occupations, and you gave it to this motherfucking farmer over here because he had a bad year? That's socialism, friends. Anytime you fucking take from the people, fucking tax them with excise taxes or any kind of fucking indirect tax that is not for something for them, well, then you're practicing socialism. And that's why I say, you know, this, they talk about, this is capitalist country, capitalist thing, you see. You fucking retards do not even know what the fuck you're talking about. It's not capitalism, it's fucking welfareism. When fucking Wall Street's getting handed billions of fucking, some company goes bankrupt and the people have to bail them out? Really? Like Goldman Sachs, and when they did, you know, the derivatives fucking bubble of 2008, when that happened, that was a bunch of fucking corporations that fucking went bankrupt. And the people, somehow we're obligated. Well, you read that 14th Amendment, you're responsible for all our debts. Well, I'll tell you what, that 14th Amendment ain't worth the fucking papers written on, because the 9th article fucking trumps it. And the only problem we have in this country is we're not enforcing that fucking Bill of Rights. That Bill of Rights, every other word out of everybody's mouth ought to be Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights. Put that up on the goddamn fucking table with one of your crew, your idiot crews from fucking Fox or CNN. Have them explain. Let me sit there and question and have them explain how this can be the supreme, how this can be ratified, absolute fucking the highest law in the land, the law of the people, ratified by the people. And show instance after instance where this is being this law is being fucking broken by fucking people who committed a crime and chartering a corporation to replace the republic with. And I can show where these are, I mean, like the 5th article. Nobody shall be lose your life, liberty, or property without due process of the law. Then you got to look at, where's the due process here? Just like the fellow they took off, he told him when he said, "I want to see a warrant." That's the goddamn master speaking. That's the people that's the people. But he's not. See, that's why this is such a fucking clusterfuck. Because that guy is not one of us. He's got a license. He's one of them. He wants the corporate goodies, and he'll go and he'll turn over. He'll flip over backwards. He'll lick the Jew's ass, whatever he's supposed to do, because he gets the corporate welfare that makes sure that he makes fucking money no matter whether his business is shit or not. I've talked about it before in 2008 when everything went to hell. Why did it go to hell? Because the country was running on red ink. How in the world could the richest country on the fucking planet be running in red ink? The most successful country ever. And sending billions, sending it on fucking pallets over to fucking goddamn Afghanistan and Iraq for Halliburton. And then when you go to question, well, you get some questions about it. We got a couple of trillion we'd like to ask you here about Mr. Cheney. Oh, goddamn, look out. Oh, their planes are hitting buildings. And, oh, one hit the Pentagon, a plane. It's a Pentagon. All the fucking evidence is gone. If it was fucking $100 you owed, they'd be fucking looking for you. They'd be looking for that fucking $100. We're talking about $23 trillion fucking dollars missing, and it should be a report every night. You would think. That's the entire national debt is fucking stolen fucking money. And you won't hear, nobody's looking for it. And even when they come out with saying, well, that was $2 trillion they were actually looking for there with Halliburton back in, back at 9/11. That was only $2 trillion, but $2 trillion fucking dollars. And you just, well, a couple of buildings blew up, so we quit looking at it. You know where it went. Fuck, I watched you loaded on the goddamn transports with forklifts on goddamn pallets of $100 fucking dollar bills, shrink wrapped. I watched it. I'm sure that John can attest that he might have seen him over there in fucking Iraq and over there in Kuwait. At any rate, guys, we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
We'll be right back.
from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated and they are needed. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1242 Pacific Time, and that was Hogjaw with Get Some. And, man, people, I'm telling you, this thing is closing in because there's a lot of eventualities. They're talking about going to the Congress and all this fucking shit and maybe declaring that, you know, an illegal election. I mean, they pushed all of their chips into the middle of the table, as John has said. And it's time they have to shit this time or just, you know, shit their pants. Shit or get off the pot. Because, I mean, they're in this up to their goddamn neck. They have committed and openly committed fucking crimes that they admit are crimes. They tell you, we don't have the authority, but do it or else. That's not fucking freedom and liberty, people. That's when it's time for you to take those liberty teeth and rip those motherfuckers to pieces. But I guess we'll wait. We'll just keep, keep on waiting. I mean, those people out in the street, man, just one time I'd like to see you. You know, they had like, some flags, American flags, they wrapped the flag part around them, used them for fucking fighting sticks. I can't see why somebody doesn't carry the Bill of fucking Rights. That's the only one that was for we the people. The rest was all about fucking government. It was about the creation of the country. The Bill of Rights was the people's document. But the people go out and they carry the fucking symbolism of the fucking, of the corporate, fucking mafia. I mean, the corporate goddamn communist, or else they could carry the, you know, the, what you just doing here? Who's our broadcast? It's fucking here.
It should be working.
Okay.
At any rate. The Marxists?
Either side. The Trump tards. Any of them. Why in the fuck, why isn't that flag out there? Why isn't that built? Why isn't anybody screaming it? Hold on, son of a bitch, I'm going, can you fuckers read? Are you that ignorant? Even to the Antifa. You stupid motherfuckers, can't you read? If you wanted fucking freedom from this fucking corporation, which has caused all the goddamn misery and is run fucking by the international Zionists right up to the Illuminati at the top with the Rothschilds, you would fucking embrace that fucking Bill of Rights and just enforce the fucking law in it. But you started doing that, your buddies the cops ain't going to be your buddies no more because they are fucking mercenaries. And they work for the fucking Rothschilds. And they take their orders are fucking filtered down for sure. But they take their orders from the fucking suits is where you ought to be shooting those fucking, why? I don't know. This goddamn country's so full of fucking guns that'll shoot 1,000 yards. Them son of a bitches ought to think they're in a fucking rainstorm right now. The fucking suits. The head of the fucking monster ain't that goddamn, it ain't that hard to get to. It just really ain't. At any rate, it's a pastime for the tactical report. Sorry about that, John. Got the raven there. But with John D., United States Marine fighting tyranny. And John, you have the mic. Tear it up, brother.
Okay, Henry, thank you very much. All right, I'm going to turn this down just a little bit because I still got that echo, as almost always now. That seems to be common. All right, let me turn this down a little bit more. All right, hopefully that's better. All right, I got a lot to cover here. I did some interesting research this weekend, and, you know, as usual, by serendipity, as you start going down all them little side shoots and them little side investigations, you start coming across stuff, and you're like, oh, shit, look at that. So we're going to have an oh, shit moment on this tactical report, but let's get started with the top of the report. I am John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. This is the Tactical Report. It is December 7th, that day, a day in infamy, remember that, 2020. It is Monday, which comes, of course, from, do I even have it here? I should know it. Oh, here we go. I should know this by heart. By now, of course, in our word etymology, the word Monday comes from the Scandinavian Norse gods, Mani, goddess of the moon. And yes, I would love to give them a moon. From that, they got Mani's Day, from which we got Monday. And here on From the Trenches, we got Muckin' Monday or Manic Monday. Take your pick, because Manic Monday is people who are also experience psychosis, including hallucinations, delusions, which indicate a separation from reality. And let me tell you, there are some people out there who are wholly separated from reality.
John.
All right.
John, can you hear me at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Muckin' Fun Day. It's fucking
Monday. I'm sorry. I wrote Muckin' Monday.
I just thought you might be confused with what you were saying.
No, I'll fix it right now so I don't forget. Muckin'
Fun Day.
There we go. I actually got that in my notes now. Muckin' Fun Day.
And we're having fun. So go at it.
All right. Thanks, Henry. Okay. All right, so I was up to, it's 15:48 Eastern Daylight Time. That's 3:48 to all you civilian-minded out there. And to all the retards who think the Supreme Court's going to be able to straighten this out, Mickey's little hand is past the 3, and his big hand is pointing up near the thing that looks like the number 8 with something bitten out of the bottom of it. That would actually be the number 9. That's the same number 9 that John Lennon made famous. All right, we've got, all right. Some little bit of house cleaning here. If you go over to our site from thetrenchesworldreport.com, I do see that Henry and Laura has put up some items for auction from the trenches. So go on over. It's right there at the very top, December auction for From the Trenches. Now, remember, you're not buying these things. What we're doing is we're giving you something in appreciation, but you have the latitude of being able to at least donate towards something that you would like to receive, because, you know, not everything is has the same kind of value to everybody else. So, you know, you can donate towards something, and you're going to most likely donate towards the item you would like to get, even though the money is to keep this site running, because we don't get any corporate sponsorship whatsoever. I don't make any money. Henry doesn't make any money. In fact, he makes way less than the minimum wage, especially here in New Jersey, because I think they bumped it up to $15 an hour now, something like that. Is now the minimum wage in this state. And I know Henry and Laura ain't making no $15 an hour doing this stuff. In fact, I'd be surprised if they average $3 an hour. And I make even less than that. In fact, I don't make any money. I spend money to help keep this site going, along with some of our regulars. And over on this auction, we've got some stuff by me, by Mary, and by Galen. So thank you as always, and go out there and just remember, it's not so much you're bidding against other people. It's how much do you want to donate to help keep this site up and running, especially in our country's most dire hour of need, which has probably never been greater than right now, because never before have these international communists had the technology in their hand where they can literally wipe out almost the entire population of this country in a matter of days or weeks. They never had that technology. That's a fairly recent development. You know, in the 1700s, 1800s, that technology just didn't exist. You had to go out there and physically murder people, doing it the old-fashioned way. Either you're going to shoot them or you're going to bayonet them or something like that. But there are so many ways they can do it now. Electromagnetic frequencies, injections, put poison in the water, in the food. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you won't even see it coming. And we're going to talk a little bit about that when we get into the main meat of the tactical report today. All right. Want to mention that? Let's get on over. Now, I wanted to mention this because Galen posted this. It's over on our site also, just below the auction stuff. You know, we got the regular featured articles up there about the constant harassment as they try and shut the site down. But just below our window for the word from the trenches, Galen posted something. It said, "Do not be alarmed." And it's a picture of an old person, clearly a very elderly person, laying in a bed, and the caption reads, "One of the things we want to make sure people understand is that they do not be unnecessarily alarmed if there are reports, once we start vaccinating, of someone or multiple people dying within a day or two of their vaccination who are residents of long-term care facilities." And that was stated by Dr. Kelly Moore, Associate Director of the Immunization Action Coalition. And that actually ties in exactly with what I'm about to cover. So just fortuitous timing, Galen. Going on. couple of quick items I do want to cover real quick just before I get into the meat of it. Over in Investment Watch, I like this. Of course this election was stolen. It was actually posted on December 5th, so it was posted over the weekend here. But this guy talks about, he's a professional gambler, and he talks about just by the methods and techniques that professional gamblers use, he can prove that this election was completely stolen, which is kind of interesting. I'm not going to read it, but I do like his opening paragraph. He says, we have put together, oh, this is actually a quote by Joe Biden. And, of course, we had this video a segment up on our From the Trenches where Joe Biden said, quote, we have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. And you know what, Joe Biden? For the first time in my life, I completely agree with you. Now, what does this guy say in this article about that? He said, this election was stolen. I don't need the media or Democrats or rhino Republican never Trumpers or the Attorney General of the United States to agree with me. They are all either compromised, in on the scam, or blind, deaf, and really dumb. Anyone who isn't blind can see it with their own two eyes. Just ask Joe Biden. See his campaign quote above. That's when the one I just read you. I've lived most of my life I've lived almost my entire life in cynical New York and Las Vegas. I've been a professional sports gambler for over 30 years. I've seen every con, every scam, and every world-class ripoff known to man. This election was stolen. There isn't even a question. And I'm using my sports gaming knowledge to explain. And he goes on. I don't want to read it because I want to get into the main article of what I want to do, but it's actually worth the read. It's actually pretty interesting. But I did love his opening phrase there, his opening comment. All right, I like this over in Natural News. Massive election fraud conspiracy in Georgia broken wide open by the Gateway Pundit, according to this article anyway. So it says the Gateway Pundit has blown a massive criminal conspiracy in Georgia wide open, exposing the players who appear to have faked a water main leak in order to shut down ballot counting and then spent the next several hours scanning fraudulent ballots for Joe Biden, rigging the election via conduct that appears to be criminal. No, it doesn't appear to be criminal. It is criminal. The Gateway Pundit's original story, found at this link, and you can go there and click on the link and you'll actually take it right to the original story, details all the players involved, providing photographic evidence, video evidence, and more. Here's the original story from TGP, which is going to be the Gateway Pundit. Huge. We caught them, and Henry actually covered this. Conspiracy revealed third suspect in Georgia suitcase scandal is also the same man who spread lies that water main broke in State Farm Center. Ralph Jones Sr. was identified as the third suspect in the Fulton County, Georgia suitcase scandal. Ralph led a team of operatives carrying out a massive voter fraud scandal on election night at the State Farm Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Ralph and his team plotted to remove all election observers, Republicans, from the counting room so they could roll out the suitcases full of Joe Biden ballots and run them through the machines. Ralph Jones told the local Atlanta news channel 11 Alive that a water main broke at the State Farm Arena and counting would be suspended. That was a lie. Then Ralph Jones Sr., Ruby Friedman, and her daughter, Shay Ross, went to work rolling out the hidden suitcases of ballots stashed under the table and hidden from view. It was their actions that gave Joe Biden the spike in unexplained votes in Georgia on Wednesday morning. It was a conspiracy to lie to the public, including local news, to remove observers from the center and then commit their hidden suitcase ballot fraud. No, this is criminal conduct at the highest level. It's also sedition and treason. Now, the article goes on and on, and normally I would take the time to read it, but I got a couple more headlines I want to get through so I can get to the main meat of what I really want to get to in this report. I like this over in Sputnik News. Third recount of Georgia ballots again confirms Biden won election in battleground state. Now, what are they doing? That's right. They keep counting the fraudulent ballots. So, of course, your count's going to be right. The problem isn't how many ballots you got. The problem is how did they get there to begin with? Good God. A snail that has been stepped on still has more thinking capacity than these people. Or they're simply criminal. Well, I'm going to go with the second one. Over in Cuz Blue, C-U-Z-Z-B-L-U-E, C-U-Z-Z, CuzBlue.com. George W. Bush appointed judge who enforced court's ruling on removing 10 commandments from Alabama courthouse, denies Lynn Wood suit in Georgia. And, of course, Lynn Wood is one of these people contesting the Biden results, declaring that, of course, Biden won because of election fraud. And, of course, the courthouse has denied or refused to look into it. No curiosity there. So if you're waiting for the court system to unravel this corruption, you're out of your fucking mind. Going on, your destination now. Sidney Powell, remember she's part of the Trump legal team, I have a huge bag of shredded ballots in my office. Raffensperger and Gabriel Sterling should be investigated. No, they should be arrested. And there's video here. Let's just see what this says real quick. So Sidney Powell joined Grant Stinchfield on Friday night on Newsmax TV. Sidney gave an update of her current fraud cases in Wisconsin and Georgia. Powell weighed in on her open and shut case in Georgia, and Sidney called for Raffensperger and his sidekick, Gabriel Sterling, to be investigated. And then she goes on talking about it. Now, it's not a matter of investigation. They should be arrested and investigated because there is clear-cut evidence of absolute fraud, sedition, and treason. I mean, how many fucking acts of treason and sedition and criminal activity does a person have to commit openly, even on video, before someone says, I think they did something wrong. Might be time to arrest them. Yeah, ain't going to happen when the communists, the Bolsheviks, are in charge of the legal system in this country. Now, going on talking about the bullshit of this coronavirus, real quick, over in New Pro, and I like this. There are no excess deaths from all causes, including those with COVID, in the USA. Data matches 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. So if you go over to Nuke Pro, what you find is the annual death rates of Americans in this country from 2015 to now. And what you find is there are no anomalies, and which means that these storylines about all these people who are dying, all these people who are dying that wouldn't have died if they didn't get the COVID, the thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people were infected. Well, you would see a spike in the death rates, the overall death rates. And what happens is when you look at these numbers, and they're right from the CDC's own database, there's absolutely no spike and nothing different going on other than how some of the normal deaths are categorized. That is, car accidents went down, heart attacks went down, respiratory illness went down, and, of course, influenza went down, normal seasonal flu went down, and COVID went up. By the same exact amount, all the other ones went down. So that's not a death spike. That is a miscategorization of the cause of death. You know, falsifying documents, because that's what it is. All right, what's going on? Now, talking about this real quick, I like this over in All News Pipeline. The table has been set for some really crazy things to happen over the next several months as MSM, Mass Stupid Media, ramps up their use of deep state code words for a bio attack upon America. Now, I'll give you the code word because you have heard it many times, and they are ramping up its use, and the term is dark winter, which goes all the way back to a code name, a training operation title in 2001, and it was called Operation Dark Winter, in which a deadly biological weapon was used against the American population. And so this article goes into talking about this and how they've been obviously ramping this up, trying to precondition the American people to the idea that there's going to be further biological events in this country, which, of course, is going to necessitate further lockdowns and, of course, increased use of vaccines that they're creating right now and other vaccines, which supposedly they haven't made yet because those events haven't happened yet. But I guarantee you they got them sitting on storage shelves already. All right, so let's get into the meat of what I want to do. And this was interesting. So we're going to get in our little time machine, and we're going to go back and see, did anything like this ever happen before? Because as Henry has said many times, the average person has the memory span of a head of cabbage. So, you know, I did read this once before, and I actually had just forgotten that I knew this because it was so many years ago that I read it, although I did remember one part of it, and it's going to talk about the Legionnaire's disease. And we're going to get into that, why that's important and how it's related to right now. But this was part of that, and I remember the Legionnaire part, but I forgot the other part until I saw it again. I was like, oh, yeah, Christ, how can I forget this? It's never been more relevant than at this moment. So what do I have here? Let's take a quick look, and I want to remind people of what was going on. This is about an event that occurred in 1976. Can you even picture that? That's 24, 34, 44 years ago. This was 44 years ago, and it was written about 43 years ago. That is right after this event. It was written about not even several months later. And, of course, it was written, talked about, it was discussed and disclosed by Eustace Mullins, one of our favorite authors. And let's just remind people what was going on back there in 1975, 1976, 1977. What was the mindset of the average American? What were a couple of the big events that had just occurred recently? So this was still common knowledge. These were things that were still being discussed. These are things that were still in the news. Well, first and foremost, let's remember, there was no internet at that point. Nobody had computers except some high-end universities who were doing work for the military, especially DOD, and they were using something called the DARPA net, which was the forerunner of the internet. But the average person certainly had no internet, and of course, the internet, as we know, it didn't exist yet. So there was no computers in people's house except maybe for one or two people who were a technical specialist of some kind, and they were tied into these universities doing some DARPA and DOD research. And they were communicating with these computers through the DARPA net. And that was the forerunner to what became the internet, but the internet didn't come into existence yet for another 15 years from this point. So 1974, remember, Nixon just resigned in August of 1974. So by 1976, you're barely not even a year and a half, 2 years after we had a president of the United States on the world stage resigned due to so-called corruption allegations. This is still on people's minds. It's still being talked about in the major press all over the country. Let's not forget, December 1972, the supposed moon landings, the last one, Apollo 17, had occurred, and people are still kind of talking about this because we had supposedly landed on the moon. Now, I've seen evidence that suggests it didn't happen at all, or at least not the way we were told, but let's just go with the idea that, because people were believing it completely, that we did land on the moon, but the last mission was in late December. It was really 73, because it was December 72. So it's only a couple of years after that, a few years after that, people are still talking about this. People are still wowed by our technical prowess to pull that off. 1973, 1974, we had the huge Arab oil embargo. And, of course, that was a game changer. And, of course, Kissinger was the Secretary of State at that time. Now, what happened in 1975, 1976, 1977? TAPS, Trans-Alaskan Pipeline System, or what just became commonly known as the Alaskan Pipeline. Now, this got stalled in the court system until finally, because of the so-called oil embargo, which most people don't know, was manipulated by the Jews who ran OPEC. But they had to get the pipeline going, and the only way they could do that was to find a way to get around all of the legal cases that were stalling it, that was stopping it from being implemented. And so what they did is they finally, in 3 weeks after the Arab oil embargo, Nixon and Congress authorized the Trans-Alaskan Pipeline Authorization Act. And this allowed them to start moving forward in 1974, 1975, 1976, which people were very pissed off about, to go across Alaska, destroying that great open wilderness to run a pipeline down it. All right, so that's the mindset of what's going on. Now, let's take one last thing that's going to relate to this. You remember a guy called Jim Jones, Reverend Jim Jones, the cult leader of the People's Temple, or it was just called the People's Temple, actually. Remember that? And it was back there in November of 1978 when it was really a murder-suicide of nearly 1,000 people who had to drink the cyanide-laced Kool-Aid. Remember that? Well, One of the pictures they took when they went down there and they found these dead bodies laying all over the place, one of the pictures that they did take was the kind of throne chair that he had. He had a chair set up and it sat a little bit higher than the others. And when someone committed infraction, Jim Jones, of course, was the lawyer and the judge, and he was the one who told what was going to be the punishment and everything. And he would sit in his chair, and right over that chair was a little plaque that said, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And my God, never was any one man so right. All right, so now that we've got the context of what was going on there roughly back in the 74, 75, 76, 77, let's take a look at this article. And it's called Murder by Injection, the Great Swine Flu Massacre, 1,600 Dead. Now, this was written by Eustace Mullins in August of 1977 for the swine flu outbreak and this massive national inoculation vaccine program that they tried to institute that was killing people left and right in 1976. So that occurred in 1976, and barely several months later, Eustace Mullins, after doing a bunch of research and, of course, actually experienced some of this firsthand, wrote a story about it, wrote an article about it. And that's what we're going to read here, because I want you to remember, this was written, 20, 30, 43 years ago. This is not written last week or last month, which it will sound like to you. It was written over 40 years ago. But you would swear he wrote this just a few months ago, because that is how much it parallels to what's going on right now. All right, let's get moving here. A long line of tense and fearful people had formed outside a local health clinic. The line slowly inched forward into a small room where white-coated technicians, and they have that word technicians in parentheses, meaning they just put a white lab coat on somebody, and these people were just dispensing these needles. Most of them weren't doctors or even had any doctor or nurse training. The line slowly inched forward into a small room where white-coated technicians injected each person's arm with the virulent chemical poison. As the chemical hit their bloodstream, some of the victims slumped over and died immediately. They were quickly dragged into another room while the technicians assured the nervous crowd, quote, "There's nothing to worry about. They've only passed out." This shocking scene is familiar enough. We have watched endless movies of those atrocities produced by victorious Jews who claim that these acts were really carried out by Nazis in Germany. The above scene, however, is not Germany in 1944. It's the United States, anywhere and everywhere in this country, during the Great Swine Flu Massacre of 1976. Now remember, Eustace Mullins wrote this in August of 77. Only the warped mind of a Jew could have conceived such a horror as celebrating the bicentennial year of the United States by carrying out a national campaign of genocide against its citizens and by enlisting the President of the United States, Gerald Ford, to personally lead this campaign. Ford's folly, as it was later known, cost him the re-election to the White House, as the suppressed information about the hundreds of victims slowly leaked out, but the true purpose of the campaign was a test run for a much more comprehensive national plan of eliminating non-productive citizens, which will be carried out at some later date. And here we are at that later date, people. Now, I wanted to make a point here. Notice how they call it Ford's folly. You know, like he was doing some kind of lowbrow vaudeville act, and it just didn't go over well. Meanwhile, what he really did is he massacred. He murdered people by the hundreds and hundreds and thousands and thousands. And the best they could come up with is, oh, it was just Ford's folly. No, it was Ford's mass murder. The national program of swine flu injections was hardly underway before alarming rumors of sudden death and of terrible side effects such as various forms of paralysis began to alarm the American people. There were rumors simply because they were suppressed by the nation's press, and they were publicly denounced as lies by every public health official in America. After some weeks, during which the officials desperately tried to complete their announced goal of inoculating every person in America with this poison, they finally admitted that one or two people had collapsed and died of acute heart failure after having been administered the poison. In the ensuing weeks, this figure continued to be revised upwards until the officials admitted that just over 200 persons had died after being injected with the vaccine. The actual figure, which was never been released from Washington, is 1,600 persons who died immediately after being ejected. Now, what it doesn't say here is the total number of people who actually died from these injections was in the tens of thousands. Despite these casualties, the officials continued the program of injection until December 16, 1976, when public outcry became so great that it was officially stopped. In the crucial period when the officials refused to abandon their program of mass murder by injection, one public health official in Pennsylvania, a bearded hippie type with the accepted Mad Commissar appearance, which is now de rigueur for the members of the Marxist bureaucracy, that is, the Zionist Jews running this country, made his contention on national television that the victims, quote, would have died anyway, end quote. The cynicism of this statement would have done credit to the commandant of any Soviet death camp in Siberia. No Nuremberg trials have been proposed for the officials who planned and executed the Great Swine Flu Massacre of 1976, nor has the Washington Post's prize-winning teams of investigative reporters shown any interest in the murders. The explanation probably is that they're busy writing further revelations about Watergate, from which they still term the crime of the century, and which lacked all the conventional ingredients of sex, death, or money, and which consisted solely of a few stooges being lured to break into a Washington office with the promise that convincing proof of the Democratic Party's connection with Castro's communist regime was to be found there. This proof, which has never been made public, has now become stale news because Jimmy Carter's desperate campaign to accord Cuba full diplomatic recognition, with the inevitable subsequent billions of dollars worth of aid to be lavished on its communist thugs, to the soothing background of George McGovern's continuing eulogies to the purity and beauty of Castro's great soul. The American public has been led to believe that the swine flu massacre was a bipartisan political effort, as leaders of both the Democratic and the Republican parties joined in the campaign to herd the victims to the death offices of the health officials. Some suppose it was merely another big-money deal perpetrated by the Zionist biological parasites in their unceasing efforts to find new ways to milk their unprotesting host people. However, the entire swine flu program amounted to a mere $135 million. Now remember, this is 1976 money. $135 million would easily be about $1.5 billion today, which is hardly peanuts to the rampaging Jews who regularly mount billion-dollar raids on the United States Treasury. This sum represents only one-tenth of the sum contributed by American taxpayers to the State of Israel each year. The ramifications of the swine flu massacre cannot be truly measured by the $135 million windfall for the drug company executives who had picked up Gerald Ford's bills for 25 years in Washington, nor by the misleading figure of 1,600 dead Americans. Now remember, the 1,600 dead are the ones that Eustace Mullins could find out about because they were the ones who died instantly. The real story behind the swine flu murders is one of genocide and of slow-acting poison, which may take years after the injection to bring on death by cancer or heart failure. The story begins in the ironically named federal Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia. Yes, the same city which produced our present leader, Gerald Ford. First, the federal scientists in the rat's nest invented a new disease. Now, is this starting to sound a bit like COVID, people? The federal scientists in this rat nest invented a new disease, which they named the swine flu. To this day, now remember, when he says to this day, this is written in 1977. To this day, there has never been a single case of swine flu positively identified in any person in the United States, just like COVID, people. To trigger the demand for a national campaign of inoculating the new poison, the scientists claimed that a young soldier at Fort Dix, New Jersey, had died of the swine flu. Now this disease was ready to ravage the entire population with a projected death toll from 60 to 100 million victims. The scientists claim that this disaster could only be avoided by the inoculation of everyone in the United States. The fact was that there was not then and never has been the slightest possibility of any such epidemic. The young soldier at Fort Dix had been suffering from exhaustion after a forced march. He was given some sort of injection, probably the swine flu vaccine, and then died. This death was then claimed to be the first victim of swine flu. For many years, some of our young soldiers, as well as many political prisoners in our prisons, have been subjected to medical experiments by mad scientists of the type which the Jews claim were carried out by the Nazis. Although thousands of pages of testimony were taken down at the Nuremberg trials from Jews who claimed to have been the subjects of the Nazi experiments, their sole purpose in testifying to these atrocities was to lay claim to lifelong payments of benefits, which they have subsequently collected from the captive German people. Now remember, at this point, because this is written 43 years ago, most of those people, if not all of them, have died. And so the Zionist Jews have claimed that due to the traumas that the Jews suffered while in those concentration camps got passed through the genes to the children and the grandchildren. So the German people have to keep paying now. Yes, that's a true story, and I've already covered that one before, too. In the United States, thousands of victims of these medical experiments have never been able to collect anything, including the family of the young soldier at Fort Dix. Nevertheless, his death set off an overwhelming national demand for an immediate swine flu vaccine program. The press, as usual, was only too glad to cooperate in this atrocity. Every public health official in the United States leaped into the program with their knee-jerk conditioned reflex as soon as they received their orders from Moscow on the Potomac. That's Washington, D.C., which is run by the Zionist Jews. The campaign was given its final blessing by the less than regal figure of the President of the United States, Gerald Ford. The fact that he was condemning hundreds of American citizens to death bothered him not for a moment. But retribution came in the public fear and dismay created by the revelations of the many deaths of the swine flu campaign. This fear provided the last straw which sent the delicate balance of an undecided electorate. Someone there? Okay. This fear provided the last straw which sent the delicate balance of an undecided electorate tipping to Jimmy Carter. One of his principal aides, who later disappeared amidst revelations of bad checks and fraudulent deals, publicly stated, quote, "We never would have made it without the swine flu victims," end quote. And that's how Jimmy Carter got in office. In retrospect, is this so strange when we recall that the entire plan for the massacre originated in Atlanta, Georgia, at the base of Carter's entire presidential effort? And does this explain the desire of the Jewish television industry to pay off Gerald Ford with millions of dollars for the story of his life as a public servant, which, of course, will exclude all mention of the swine flu massacre, the years which he lived in luxury in Washington on $5 a week, or his malfunctioning nervous system, which caused him to fall on his face when he had nothing to hold on to. To this day, no one has commented on the fact that all the victims of the swine flu massacre were elderly white Americans. Anyway, there's more to this, and I see we're way past the hour, so we're going to pick this up because we're only about halfway through, and we're going to get into the really interesting stuff. This was all part of the context, so you understand what's coming when I get back to this tomorrow. So unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back to my friend, mentor,
hey, John.
And my voting buddy. Yeah, come on up.
Hey, did you ever hear of the NOAA laws back in the 90s, 19, I think it was 92, 91, Bush?
Yeah, I think they call them the NOAA Hyde laws.
Yeah, yeah, and that goes to that anti-Semitic, don't it, that bill they're trying to pass?
I don't know. I don't know much. I don't know anything about it. I know the term, but I don't know what its history is or the context of it is.
Okay, because I heard somebody saying a couple of days ago about their passing a bill with the anti-Semitic, and that if you talk about anything with the Holocaust or anything with the Jews or what they're doing, they'll put you in prison for 10 to 20 years, and then you'll have fines. And I sit back and go, how much is people going to take of this shit?
Well, Voltaire said it. If you wish to find out who rules over you, simply find out who it is you are not allowed to criticize.
And that's China and the Jews?
Well, it's the Jews because the Jews run China. Remember, China was nothing but a backwater peasant country, a billion people, but all peasants until Henry Kissinger went over there and opened the door and made a deal with them saying, we'll turn you into a world power, but we pull the strings. And that meaning Henry Kissinger was a Zionist Jew.
So ain't Joe Biden. He's a Zionist.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
But you try to explain this to people, and they're just like, it's just...
Well, that when you get that deer in the headlight look by people, that shows you that propaganda does work to a certain degree, especially on a certain segment of the population.
That is true.
All right. So, unless there's any other comments, I'm going to hand it back to Henry.
All righty then, and you're both right. You know, the no-hide laws, you know, that Bush did put that in. I mean, from what I understand, that was, you know, what was put in as the main fucking law. And I'm sure they're trying to pass legislation that would violate the first article, right, for me to say that those low-life fucking parasitic Zionist Jews deserve to be fucking nuked yesterday, that if they were wiped off this fucking planet, you could have peace and tranquility, and you will not have it until they are. And they'll never, ever, ever pass any fucking law they want. They'll never shut my fucking mouth. There's only one way to do that.
Well, they got those laws over in Australia. They got them in Britain. They got them over in France.
Yep.
I mean, they had a case when we covered the article. It was about 4 or 5 months ago. Some comedian made a joke about the fucking Jews. They locked them up for it.
Well, I'll get you shot. I mean, you want to get shot over a shot, or you want to get shot over a gun, or you want to get shot over a fucking Jew? I mean, you're getting a lot of fucking options going here.
Hey, did they have an old order before?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Because everyone talks about a new world order, and like everyone, because I was watching a video and they said an old order, and they want to switch it to a new world order, but it's like a new order.
Well,
have the world cut out, like.
You're in the new world, and the old world order was the crown heads, you know, the prince, when it was the monarchies. And the new world order is the communists, with the monarchies at the top ruling, you know, ruling through their agents, which are the communists. And I mean, that's what's really going on in this country with the back and forth, you know, the Democrats against Republicans, what might have you. Is it, you know, they're just trying to show that, well, we can control the people, we can beat the people down, we can subjugate them better than these guys can. No, we can. We should be the lead. I mean, it's something that got people on up the pyramid, they like to watch them. I mean, whoever's the most fucking ruthless, that's who you want in place as your fucking overseer. I mean, but that's what your new world order is. It's one world communism. Anyways, you know, last time, I think it was Friday, we were talking about the doctor here in Oregon who, you know, came out and said that the COVID thing was bullshit, you know, nobody, he didn't wear a mask. Well, doctor has license yanked after saying this about coronavirus. An Oregon doctor has reportedly lost his medical license after attending a, quote, Stop the Steal rally and delivering comments about the coronavirus and face mask in a video. Dr. Stephen Tupoli, I don't know that guy, I didn't get his name right, remarks at the November Stop the Steal rally. The physician described himself as a retired Air Force officer, an ordained minister, and practicing physician in the Dalles, Oregon area. I want you to know that I never shut down during the entire COVID season from the time it was declared till now. LaTupola told the crowd, I hate to tell you this, it might scare you, but I and my staff, none of us once wore a mask in my clinic. And how many problems did we have in our clinic? From that, zero, absolutely none. Just like this fucking COVID, it just don't exist. I'm sorry, people. The doctor called the lockdowns a threat to the American people's freedom and the Constitution, and petitioned those in the crowd to remove their masks of shame. While the physician acknowledged the virus was real, which it is not, and how in the fuck could he? How, when there is no, I mean, there's been no, nobody has identified it. And, you know, the paper John has talked about hasn't been written. The antibodies haven't been identified, but we have vaccine for you. LaTupla said it is a, quote, common cold virus that has been with us forever. Please don't be duped. You have an immune system, LaTupla said. LaTupla also said he has treated 75 cases of coronavirus and every one of his patients got better after in a week. Don't let them put you in a state of fear, the doctor urged. That is oppression, and it is. For his heresy, the Oregon Medical Board issued an emergency suspension of LaTupla's license, finding the doctor engaged in, quote, unprofessional and, quote, dishonorable conduct. NBC News reporter, you mean the son of a bitch told the truth? He's a doctor, too. What is just, I mean, you get your buddies together, and, I mean, you know, this is why our forefathers put the fucking Bill of Rights in place. So that collectives cannot get together and shut the mouth of somebody trying to tell the people that they're trying to fucking enslave us here. The emergency suspicion, alleges LaTupla told a patient in July that, asymptomatic people should not be tested and that wearing a face mask does not prevent transmission of the virus. LaTupla reportedly directed the patient not to self-isolate because, according to the doctor, exposing other people to the virus would help those people build immunities against the disease. The medical board claims that LaTupla and his staff refused to wear masks and encouraged patients to remove theirs as well. The clinic also failed to implement screening procedures upon entry of the premises, according to medical board investigators. The medical board deemed LaTupla an immediate danger to the public. Yeah, he's a danger. The fucking truth is what's going to destroy these son of a bitches. And said the doctor presents a serious danger to the public health and safety. LaTupla can no longer practice medicine in the state of Oregon, where the physician has practiced for over 20 years. So you got, I mean, everybody who comes out to tell the truth, you're going to be attacked in some way. And man, how, I mean, the trenches, you know, I understand about being fucking attacked. But this guy here, they took his fucking license, man, because he came out and told the goddamn truth. How about you, you know, like, just like, you know, I was talking about holding the Bill of Rights up and saying, hey, and reading it, you know, what about him saying, hey, I want to see the goddamn, the study that fucking, that revealed this virus. I want to see the virus. I want to see the antibody. I want to meet the team that fucking found it. But they can't produce that team. The CDC itself has told you there ain't no goddamn COVID-19. It's all a fucking lie, and now that you know it's a fucking lie, they're gonna see how fucking far they can push that goddamn lie. I mean, this is, Goebbels would be going, whoa, you guys are, I mean, you're messing with fucking fire. Cause there's a lot more than 450 million fucking guns in this country, you dumb motherfuckers. But do keep on and hurry, because, you know, I'm kind of fucking sick of this shit. I don't know about the rest of you out there, but I would like to have this clear out of my fucking life and be able to, if there's any, whatever time I got left, I'd like to be able to try to enjoy a little bit of it. That being said, we're past the top of the hour. We're at the bottom of the second hour, in fact, really. And we will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And tomorrow, there'll be more. It'll just be more outrageous in your fucking face. That fucking muddy elephant's gonna be squishing his ass down on you, man. Squishing his shit all over your fucking clothes again tomorrow. And this shit is gonna continue as long as we fucking allow it. And that is The Word from the Trenches.